Welcome everybody to the Ring podcast episode 45, our last episode of the season. We're going to finish it off with an interview, Puff, but before we jump into it, number 45, we made it 45 episodes this season. You got a number 45?
Yes. I think there's only one, Sammy Vantanen.
Who'd he play for?
Carolina Hurricane. Great. And I'm Ducks. He was not a great, but 45, number 45. That's not a very popular number. Although 45 is kind of a cool number. I actually think I could see people rocking it.
Isn't that the number Donald Trump uses? Isn't that like he's president?
Is he 45?
I think that's what
is he?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, but I think
I'm not great on that. That's pretty actually.
Okay, what's your prediction? 45.
I was going to say 45 in the next 15 years, 45 becomes a cool number.
Well, it's my age, so it's already starting off with a super cool moment.
Hey, 45 is a great age. I remember it well.
Yeah, well, we were away this weekend celebrating your birthday.
Yes, we were.
Right?
My big 5-0.
Oh,
I don't look it, though, do I?
No,
I
you
look
don't. Great. You look 40. You act 30.
40. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's maybe pretty. 20. I'll take 30.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. We had a little, we rented out the Wellington Dukes Arena.
Yes, we did.
The Lehigh.
We had a two-hour free skate, just our families and the Nibs family, and we had a good time.
What
the boys did crush us.
Yeah, we did have a little scrimmage. They won the whole thing. Yeah. What's Lehigh? Do you know what the Lehigh Arena, for those that don't know, is the arena in Wellington, Ontario, which is down in Prince Edward County. They have a beautiful facility there where the Wellington Dukes play out of, and it's called the Lehigh Arena. Do you know what the Lehigh is? Have you researched that?
I do not know. That is more your
we'll bring cup that of tea. Next season, then. What is Lehigh?
Yes, we'll find out.
Yeah. Good. Well, we are also rocking, for those watching us on YouTube, some new merch.
Yes.
Actually, it's only because it was your birthday. I decided for your birthday I was going to get you a hoodie. And
that was
then
awesome.
It turned into, oh, that's pretty nice. And then I got one, which I'm not wearing. And then now I've ordered a third to give to Stoff. So,
and once people see us wearing these around the rink, it's going to start being a very much highly requested item.
They're like OVO, like hoodies.
Well, they're very good quality, too. It's like a great hoodie.
Well, it was your birthday. I was like, I can't go cheap quality. It's got to be good. And if you're going to make merch, having been in like business for the last 25 years, always was like, if you're going to make merch, make something things people will wear, like and they'll want to wear. So there was this change in my career where we used to just make 1,000 t-shirts for as cheap as possible to let's make 250 really nice t-shirts that people will wear.
Because there's lots of times you'll go to like a Leaf game or Jays, especially Jays will give out, they do a lot of giveaways. And sometimes you'll get like something that's just like so crappy and you're like, I'm never going to wear this again. Sometimes it's actually legit nice.
Right.
They've gotten a little bit better at getting a better quality, but this is a great one.
Yeah. So there you go. So maybe we'll get some merch next year. Who knows? Right now we're prototypes. We're workshopping it. So the other news is the Leafs are out. And I know this is a GTHL focused podcast, but we do have lots of people that listen. And the Leafs, what's your prediction on the Leafs? Just why? I know we haven't talked about NHL at all. We haven't talked anything about this at all, but what's your thought on the Leafs going into next season? Why don't you give us a 30-second puffy overview on that?
Well, my hope is that former GTHL superstars Mitch Marner and John Tavares, hometown boys done good. They've had great careers with the Leafs, but my hope is that they find another home next year and reignite their careers. Because I think Toronto needs a fresh start. We need Matthews and Nylander are going to be the center of the team, and we got to build around them. And with more talent, spread around the roster, not just so top heavy, because it's basically shown it doesn't work.
Well, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. Let's see.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Is correct by the time we get to the end of it. So
they're all going
to
be back.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. I hope Bertuzzi comes back. Was he only on for 1 year?
1 year deal. But I heard him and Domi have, I mean, they always say that they'd like to come back. Money's going to talk.
Of course they
can. But I like both players. So hopefully they're both back.
Right on. Well, with that, why don't we jump over to our interview with the one and only Tanya Whitty, the coach of the U13AA Ticats and the U15AA Ticats.
Yes.
City, made to the cities three times, East champs multiple years, coach to many. Why don't we flip it over to that and run through that interview now?
Our next guest is one of the most well-respected head coaches in the GTHL, a three-time East AA playoff champion, a two-time East regular season champion, although she has zero Silver Stick titles, which haunts her to this day. She has coached not one, but two GTHL teams for the past three seasons and will do it once again next fall with the U13AA and U15AA East Ender Ticats. In an unofficial poll of GTHL refs, she was voted as the best-looking coach in the league. She's a friend to many, a mother of two very proud boys, a wife and breadwinner to one very fortunate man. It's the 2023 GTHL Coach of the Year. Oh, no, wait, she didn't win because a man won for the 19th year in a row. It's Tanya Whitty, Coach T. Thanks for finally joining us on the podcast.
Wow. I know your intros are always flattering for everybody, but that was quite the introduction, Sean. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
All right, Tanya, welcome to the podcast. It's been a long time. We've been trying to get you on for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, we did make a deal that if we won the East Division in the playoffs, that I would finally come on the pod. But I was saying to Sean that this really shouldn't be called to the rink today. It should be like to the diamond or to the field or something, because everybody should have their bags away and be off doing something else at this point.
Yeah, well, we were trying to do this for the last couple of weeks, but we've been delayed in a couple, like, I don't know, there was some delays in trying to get this last pod in. So I agree with you. We're off to ball hockey mainly these days. But so before we jump into it, what everyone wants to know, the first question everyone wants to know is, what's it like living with Puffy?
Oh, it is entertaining. Let me tell you, lots of laughs, definitely lots of sports, lots of highlights. And let me tell you guys, if anybody is looking for the longest dated, most arbitrary, not coveted sports trivia fun fact, reach out to Puffy. He's got your back and he will definitely make sure that you've got a few nuggets to take with you wherever you're going.
Okay, good.
All right. Very fair.
All right, Tanya. So let's go right to the beginning. When and why did you start? I'm going to start that again. When and why did you start your minor hockey career as a coach?
Well, my volunteer hockey coaching started when Barrett was in his second year of Tyke at East York. So that would have been probably back in like 2016, 2017. And I was just a parent on the sidelines. I'd kind of offered to help out with the house league team. And people got wind that I had played hockey in university and had a bit of a coaching background and at the university hockey level, and had just sort of begged to say, we don't have anybody to coach this Tyke team. Will you please, please get involved? And I said, I'll get involved to help. But definitely like do not want to take a team on my own. They wore me down and, I guess really there was nobody else. So here we go. And what is amazing is there's actually still four kids on my team from that team when it started, in the 2010 group. And over and above that, I think there's like seven or eight kids, like half the team that actually came out of East York in that age group overall. So amazing to kind of still have such solid roots. And it's been a lot, but it's been such a fun process. Certainly have been enjoying it.
Tanya, you've had a non-parent coach on your bench for pretty much your entire minor hockey coaching career. Why has that been important to you?
I've always felt that, as a parent coach, it's been nice to have a non-biased opinion, somebody who's totally objective to look at things. You know, Carl has been amazing. We've been so lucky to have him. And before that, we had somebody else that I worked with named Keenan. And it was awesome to have him as well. And let's face it, I mean, I'm certainly the head coach and the one that rallies everybody, but they're the one that the boys want to be like. And I love that for them, you know, like having that like younger, cool guy that's a role model. His edges, their edges are always sounding awesome. They're great at demoing some of the drills. And to be honest, like we wouldn't have had half the success that we've had without Carl or Keenan at the table. So I've really loved that. And I think it's a really important part of the programs.
Yeah. Nice. Coach Carl's a great guy. Even Ozzy, who's not on the team, loves Coach Carl and looks up to a guy like him. It's nice to have the young guys like that joining the team and join as a coach. So I think that's awesome. He does also coach our rival team, though, the Ted Reeve rival, that is, which is the Don Mills Mustangs. So we'll forgive him for that.
Yeah, he is awesome for sure. And you know what? He's so into it and he dedicates so much of his time. Like, he really does care. He's not just one of those like guys that is looking to make a quick buck come into the rank. He's really invested in the teams that he's a part of. And when you can find somebody like that to help you, I definitely encourage coaches to take advantage of the opportunity.
Now, how did you find him? Did you like put an ad out to try to find an assistant, or was he someone that was involved in the organization?
Well, to make a long story short, so Keenan, who some people might know, and I think he listens to the podcast, he was working with me at Rogers, and he mentioned that he used to coach a lot of hockey and hadn't been involved lately. So he got involved and started coaching with me for a few years. Then as we were entering the GTHL, he wanted to go coach with Reed Acton, who's been one of your guests before on this podcast, at the Don Mills Flyers. So I said to Reed, like, it's not fair that you take my coach away. Like, if you want him, you've got to give me somebody back. So we actually went to a Leaf game one night together, the three of us, and invited Carl. And we all kind of had a little bit of a barter exchange to say, can we make this work and can we find a way? And it's been a great fit. And as much as it was awesome to get to have Keenan involved, Carl's been amazing as well. And yeah, he's been with us ever since.
Nice. So now, you yourself, though, has only coached in one GTHL organization, which is the EastEnders, the Ticats. We were a part of that until we left. Great organization. So maybe you've had your long-term status with them. What has been the key to a great relationship with an organization like that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know anything about the GTHL when I got started. I mean, growing up playing girls hockey, you certainly hear about a couple things about the GTHL, but not a ton. So
there's also no podcasts about it then either, I don't think. It was hard to find.
And thank goodness there is now, because you guys like really go deep in telling people what to expect. But you know, I had no idea how involved certain organizations were, or actually like how bad some of the politics are with certain organizations. And what I've certainly found with the EastEnders is just so fortunate. They're a family-run organization. Mike and Bruce, they've been kind of having this under their belt. It was their dads involved before that. Like, they're at everything. They come to our away tournaments. They're so supportive. And they're really there for the right reasons. They make it affordable. And it's not easy, you know, like we don't have a home rink. We started our first year and we were at Birchmount Arena, and that went under renovation like right after the first year. It's never come back. And you know, they haggle for ice, they try and find the best locations possible, they try and keep the cost down as much as they can, and they really have all the family's best interests at heart, and couldn't be more thankful to be a part of the EastEnders for sure.
Tanya, what advice would you have for women listening that are contemplating coaching in the GTHL?
I would say stop contemplating and just do it. Honestly, I cannot wait to see more women get involved. And as more moms have had experience now playing hockey, and as you kind of see the years go on, and hopefully more and more of the females that have been playing start having kids that are of the age to play, I hope people have the confidence to do it. Like, you definitely should. Don't think twice. You know, there's lots of tools and ways to learn how to build practices. There's so many things on social and online about great drills. There's so many people that are just willing to collaborate and help you learn what to do. And, you know, it can be intimidating, sure, but don't let it be. Don't let it be a barrier. And like anything in life, I mean, we need more representation. And it's not that the men that are involved aren't doing a great job, because there's a number of them that are, but you know, it's like anywhere in business or anything that you do in life, having more representation of men and women and those different voices and different role models for people, I think is really important. And I really hope to start seeing more of a change.
Yeah, that's great. I agree. And I feel like there is a bit of a change. I feel like I've noticed there's not just you, there's a few women coaches, if I'm not mistaken, in the GTHL. Is that correct?
Yeah, there definitely are. No. For sure. I think though, like, it's few and far between. And, you know, I do hope that more women can take a head coaching role and really, you know, be the ones to help create an awesome program and bring the right people in to help support. You don't have to know how to do everything. You're really a leader that's bringing in kind of the right puzzle pieces to help make your team successful.
Delegate.
You got it.
Yes. All right. Your 2010 East and Ticats have been to the last three city finals, winning two regular season titles over the same time period. What has been the key to success of your team?
Well, we have the monkey on our backs and we cannot find a way to win the city. So need to figure that one out. But I would say, you know, for me, it's really about the three C's: culture, commitment, and consistency. Nobody talks enough about the importance of culture in minor hockey. And a lot of parents drop their kids off at the rink. You know, you're not allowed in the dressing rooms, which makes a ton of sense. And you don't really know a ton of what's going on. You ask your kid questions. You don't always know. Sometimes coaches give updates, but there's a lot of emphasis on what goes on at the rink and on the ice. And for me, it's about way more than that. And hockey is what brings us together, but it's actually all the other things around it that are the great learning opportunities that build an awesome culture. And whether it's the volunteering, whether it's the off-ice skills building, whether it's video sessions, whether it's around getting involved in your community, team events, like you name it, it all those things actually create an amazing culture. We focus a lot on championship mindset and really learn a lot of life skills that, you know, it's amazing. I have parents on the team that say, you know, so-and-so wouldn't have actually done well on their math test last week if you didn't teach them about how to control their anxiety. And being able to translate some of those things into being a better student is actually amazing. And for me, you know, I feed kind of the corporate beast all day, and then at nights and on the weekends, getting to make an impact in the lives of these young kids is great. So I spend a lot of time on that. And then the second one is commitment. And I think that, you know, we expect a lot of commitment on the teams that I'm a part of. And it's really hard when people are half in. And we've seen it on the 2012s. Like, I think if you're all in and you have a team that's all in and you've kind of level set on the expectations, it you can create something pretty awesome. But when people are kind of wavering, it's hard. And I get it. People are busy and there's a lot going on and you have to make hard choices. So I think what I've certainly learned from a coaching perspective is being very, very clear on what that commitment is and being consistent with it and not kind of, you know, not being unrealistic. Like on our teams, it's like, yeah, you want to go on vacation? Everybody gets a vacation. I take one. We take a week off. You know, if you have something that's really important, in your family or from a life perspective, like take the weekend, do what you need to do. But I think it is about sort of that consistent approach. And then the other one for consistency for me is like, and again, hard because I know on the 2012 team, we're going through a big rebuild right now, but really it's around consistency in the messaging, the consistency in the players, the consistency in sort of performance and expectations, and making sure the kids just really know what does success look like. And we establish goals and establish sort of a way of training and they know what to expect. So there's no surprises and it's been a pretty great model.
Tanya, what's been your most memorable experience behind the bench in minor hockey?
There's actually been quite a few. I have to say probably the most exciting was the very first time that we won the East Division. So it would have been our second year in the GTHL. And I remember that in the regular season, we were tied with the North York Knights. We were tied in points, and we played them in the last regular season game. And the winner was the East Division champion. And we won it. It was an exciting game, and we celebrated like crazy. I think the boys were so excited. We were all so pumped. It was our first big, like, massive championship title like that, and it was super memorable. The following year, though, so a close second, we won the regular season again. But then in the East Division playoff championship, we were playing North York again. So I've had quite a number of big games against them. We were playing North York again. And in the final game of the series, the game went to overtime, and we scored to win it. So that was another exciting one. And it was also awesome. Barrett, my son, was actually, he was the one that scored. So selfishly, there was a really proud mom and a proud coach moment. So I would say those are a close 1-2 for me.
And do you remember what arenas those were in?
So the champion, the first championship, yeah, I believe, was at Chestnut Arena.
That is correct.
The second one. I like that puppy's gonna grade the answers on this one.
Oh yeah, he's gonna validate all of the facts. The second one was at North Toronto Arena, and actually Sean was at the Masters while this happened, so he wasn't even there. He was watching it on the big screen with like the Canadian golfers and the TSN crew. So yeah, definitely both memorable enough to remember where they were.
I did not know Barrett had scored when I was watching it on the screen. You couldn't tell. The feed just came back in time for me to see the goal.
This was pre-Live Barn. This was...
This was Game On.
Game On, that's right. Yeah. Pre-Live Barn. Okay, so, Tan, I know there's a lot... When you have a whole bunch of families and a whole bunch of kids that you're sort of, you know, going year to year with, and you have the great times that we just talked about, but what's been some of the most challenging experiences as a coach, either with the team or in the GTHL in general, that you've had over your experience here?
There's been one or two parent things, not a lot. It would have been in the really early days. But if I'm being honest, it's probably been this year for me, just within sort of, you know, the last month or so. I struggle. I'm really big on my word as a coach. And if I've made a commitment to a player or to a family, even if somebody better comes along, over all the years I've been coaching, I never, ever will go back on my word. And I think your word is all you have from a reputation perspective. It's your integrity. It's the example you set for your kids. And when people don't follow through and have the same respect for you that you have for them, it's hurtful, and it's hard not to take it personally. And I really struggled with that, and I still am. And I think that, you know, for me, like I said, I certainly uphold my word. And I think when people don't give you that same courtesy, it's hard to accept.
That's for sure. Tryouts have just wrapped up for your two teams. How did they go?
Tryouts are a long process in the GTHL, and obviously off record here, but everybody knows it's not about what happens in those two or three on ice tryouts that get set. You know, by about December, January, you're starting to get all the reach outs and people looking to make moves. And as a coach, it's so awkward. Like, you know, you're in your season, you're talking to all these new kids, you're thinking about, you know, how are people going to fit for the following year? And so by the time the tryouts actually come, for the most part, you know, things are already sorted. But what I find is it's actually all the lead into the tryouts that is super time consuming, but really important. So taking the time to have those long parent conversations, lay out, here's what the program is, here's what the expectations are, here's what we're looking to do, and being honest and realistic, like, about what those things are. And then, you know, meeting people, meeting the kid, going to watch them. And so it is a bit of a long process. And especially, you know, if you're making more than one or two moves, which, you know, this year on the 2012 team, we've done a full kind of rebuild. It takes a lot of time and energy and effort, but a super important part of the process. So for me, I'm glad they're over, and we're kind of ready to move on here.
And so do you want to name the kids that aren't making the team this year? I'm just kidding. But so now the typical, so now that you've selected the team as part of the tryout, the official tryout process is over. What is your typical approach for now the off season? So the kids have the summer off or, you know, whatever it is. What's your approach to that?
Summer's off. Grant, what are you talking about?
Well, summer's off the ice.
I'm teasing. Yeah, I'm totally teasing. Yeah, I definitely all about kind of multi-sport. Go do your thing. It's been a long hockey season. That being said, there's also some kids that still really want to stay on the ice. And so, you know, at this time of year, everything is optional, unofficial. We've got power skating available, which is, I think, important for kids to take advantage of if they don't have a conflict with baseball, soccer, lacrosse, whatever it is. And then, you know, if we have another, like a morning skate or something here and there, like it's available, but there is no pressure or commitment to attend. And highly encourage that kids are out doing their own thing, staying fit, staying active. And we'll set a couple off-season goals so that kids know what they should be working on. And then we'll kind of break and get back together sort of end of August to shake the rust off.
So Tanya, with your years of coaching in the GTHL, what changes, if any, would you make to the GTHL, just the way things are run, or anything that you think could be made better for the coaches, players, and parents?
Puffy, not come in with some of the easy questions here. So there's probably a couple things. I mean, hey, for every parent that plays in the GTHL right now, like I think it's probably unanimous, like scheduling. How on earth have we not figured out the scheduling? When I am done coaching, I want to put up my hand to volunteer to help manage the logistics because like there's got to be a better way. So that for sure. But I mean, I think that's an obvious one. For me, the biggest thing, the biggest opportunity, and something that is just appalling and shocking is the lack of accountability for coach behavior in this league. And the number of times that I've been on the bench where coaches are literally standing on the boards, yelling and screaming and swearing, or in between periods, they bring the kids together and they're belittling and demeaning the kids. And again, like being so like using offensive language, and in the dressing room afterwards, you hear all the horror stories and parents in the league that just have hold no accountability to that. And, you know, for me, I find it's terrible. I think it's unacceptable. It's certainly not an environment that I would want my own kid in. It's not an environment that I create on the teams that I coach. And I think as a coach, our job is to make sure that these kids love the game and that they want to keep playing and staying involved when they're old, like all of us, you know, and you don't do that by being berated and belittled and yelled at all the time and think like, oh, it's tough love. Like this isn't 1970 anymore. I think parents in the league should want more and they should hold people accountable to that and actually do something about it.
Well said. Okay.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, because I've never seen Coach Tanya act like that at all. And it's always been, it is. You're actually quite like great to watch because you're like stoic. You always hold the team together. And I know your team pretty well over the years. Like, I don't know the kids or anything that well or anything like that, but I've seen you coach and watch your games. And you are very calm, cool, and collected on the bench. And I think that's great despite sort of, you know, other teams or coaches sort of freaking out because yeah, which is great.
How is the guy on the defense door?
Sometimes we have to get him to settle down just a little bit.
Is that you, Puff?
That would be me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Tanya, you've overheard the podcast. I don't know if you're a listener, but I know you've overheard the interview, like us do the podcast. And you know, we always have one last question, which is really around pump up song. And so I also know you very well and we've gone to lots of concerts together. We talk about music when we're together. So I'm actually curious to know, what is your pump up song to get the team fired up?
Well, Grant, my pump up songs don't get the team fired up. I don't even get control of the playlists anymore. So we all know, certainly you do, with the amount of we talk about music and the concerts that I drag you to. I'm a country girl. So I have been able to, with the recent, like, you know, surge of popularity of country music, we sneak in a few country songs into the playlist and the boys kind of placate me every now and then with a few. But I would say, like, the music that they choose for their pump-up songs, it's all the, like, hip-hop and rap and, you know, things like Fiend are always on repeat and a whole bunch of, like, songs that I have no idea who the artists are. But we certainly are hearing a lot of that, and they kind of take control of the playlist now, so...
Okay, so then what's your song? You're on the way to the rink by yourself. Puffy is at work. Austin's playing with Max at my house. Barrett maybe already got a ride there because you're leaving from me. You're putting on a song to get going. What is that song?
Okay, well, right. And again, it kind of changes for me. It's sort of like, what mood are you in? So like right now, Friday mornings, we play music during our whole practice. And so I've made that playlist and we kind of sneak in. I sneak in a bunch of country songs. I put a couple in there that I really like. And I would say like right now, the one that like gets me going is Young Love and Saturday Nights by Chris Young. And it's super fun. It feels like a bit of a summer jam. And I think, you know, even the boys don't complain about it. And it has a pretty good, fun beat to it. So certainly something that's a little bit like up.
Okay.
She got me listening to that one now.
I think I know that one. Yeah, that's not a bad song. Tanya, we've been waiting all season. It's nice to have you join us. We really appreciate you coming on. I think everyone who has a chance to watch one of the games that you coach, you should take the opportunity if you happen to be playing before or after. Watching Tanya and the team is quite special to watch how this team has operated over the last few years. They have stuck together through it for many years together now and have constantly reached that city championship. Need to put one under your belt this year. U15, I can feel it. This is your year.
Maybe the double. Maybe we get the double, GCAT.
The double with the U13.
U13, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not oversell here, Sean. Let's not oversell.
But that's a new build, right? So you have an opportunity there. You don't know how this team's going to work. This one's a new team.
It is. I think, again, not overselling the dream. I think we're looking to make some improvements. I think where we finish is going to be different than where we started. We've got an awesome group of kids that want to work really, really hard, and I think they'll really improve. But it's tough to compete with the top teams in a league that have been together and have a strong core that stay together for sure. And I it's been really interesting, actually, you know, like having two teams that have been so different in the standings to just see like how hard it actually is to compete against teams like the way the 2010s are that stay together, have a tight core. And, you know, we maybe change one or two kids a year at the most. And that's really hard to beat when you are in a rebuild situation. But I'm excited about the potential for this group. And most of all, I'm just so excited about the kids and the families and people that are looking to really come together for the same type of thing. So I think it'll be a fun season, action-packed. And, you know, I always say, you know, when people are like, I don't know how you do it, have such a busy job and coach two teams, and it is a lot. But I think one day in the not so distant future, I'm going to be wishing that somebody wanted me to be at the rink and coaching a team. So taking it all in, making the most of it while we can, and hoping to, you know, leave these kids all better than when I found them and make sure that they really love the game.
Nice. Good answer. Well, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much. Thank you for also letting Puffy step away once or twice a week since September to do this as well, because we appreciate it.
Oh, it's great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a fun podcast to listen to this season, and excited to listen on and to you guys plan the content for year two coming up. I think I see the start of a season with like in the preseason times, I would love to see a bit of a best of. And I know this goes to Stoff, who is the amazing editor and producer of this podcast. It's a big lift for him, but I think a best of bringing back some of the like awesome sound bites of some of the really incredible talent that you guys have been able to wrangle as guests this year would be pretty cool to listen to as you've built your followers so much over the year. I think people have missed some great ones.
Well, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful off season. I will see you. And I know it's not technically an off season, as you pointed out, but we'll see you soon. And thanks again for joining.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks, Tim. Well, GCAT, I have to say, that was the best looking guest we've had on our podcast.
I agree. Certainly.
And also so well spoken.
So well spoken.
Such an ambassador for the game.
Uh-huh.
Terrific, yeah. She's a great coach, and we are lucky to have her with the Ticats.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, like, obviously, you guys are great friends of ours. We hang out with you guys weekly. So we spent a lot of time with you. And yeah, like, there's something to be said about Tanya. She's definitely a coach's coach. She loves it. I think the boys that she does coach love having her there. And she really fits into that mold well. And, you know, you can tell that she's really, you know, it's really something special to her. And when that's something, you know, when you have those kinds of things, you put an extra effort and they put an extra effort and it becomes this winning solution, you know, and sort of winning culture really starts like to thrive in that sort of environment. And you can see how Tanya does ignite that. So great. Those boys are lucky. And just like you, you're very lucky to be married to Tanya.
I am. I don't know. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, I talk to the women I work with that have been involved in hockey all the time about, like, they have young kids, and I'm always like, you have to coach them when they play hockey, because more women are needed desperately in minor hockey. You know, there's a lot of guys who do a great job, but I think more women involved on the bench is only going to benefit the kids. Yeah. And the whole experience.
Do you think they'll ever be I think the answer is yes, but how long do you think until there's a head coach, female head coach in the NHL?
I think Tanya will probably be there in 5 years.
5 years?
No, I mean, the thing right now, there isn't one that's particularly close right now. Right. But I think with the success of the PWHL, I think that there will be some crossover. As there has been in the WNBA and NBA, you know, Becky Harmon has been successful coaching the WNBA, and she has been an assistant coach in the NBA and has gotten interviews for head coaching jobs that are, I think, more than just being a cursory interview. And I think she probably will one day be a head coach in the NBA. And I think that eventually it's going to get there. I mean, the thing is with coaches, like, you're just a leader of people, right? And the X's and O's, there's assistants. I think that, you know, there's lots of men who coach at the NHL that did not play at a highest level of hockey and still get the respect of the players. And I think a female who's played even at, you know, maybe in the university level, but has put her dues in as a coach is going to get that respect and be just as capable of having success at that level.
Yeah. And speaking of NBA, number 45, Stoffs posted up here that Jordan, when he came back to the NBA, was number 45.
That is true.
Just as we end our episode here. There you go.
So I'm like, I actually remember, I did not find that to be cool when Jordan did that. I did not love the 45.
Yeah, because he also came back with Washington, didn't he?
No, he came back with, this is when he came back with Chicago.
He came back with Chicago. So okay.
He came back to Chicago with the 45, and he didn't hit the ground running and quickly changed it back to the 23.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was just trying to sell more jerseys.
You know, that's the thing. Kobe changed his number a few times, right? He was, I think, 23 and 8. And some guys will do that. Teams, right, or leagues sometimes don't let them do it because of that.
Because of jersey sales?
Well, because I think you're kind of screwing the fans who bought your jersey. Right. So I think they take some blow.
They like to do it other ways. Like, here's, like, you know, camo night. Here's retro night. Here's like streetwear night. Yeah. That's how they catch you.
Yeah. GTHL organizations are going to start doing that.
Yeah. There should be a GTHL store, don't you think? Like a swag store? Like, imagine at the Scotia Pond, there was a big gift shop, but like it had all the teams and different hoodies and t-shirts and swag and hats. And it was like treated like the way MLSE has a Leaf, you know, their team store. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I would be interested to see if that did well. It might do really well, yeah.
Right.
Especially because sometimes, you know, if they had cool stuff that was different from what teams had.
Right, like new era hats, say.
Yeah, like I know with like the Ticats, like Tanya and Lyndon designed these hats that were like flat brims and super cool for the kids rather than the like actual ones that you could get through the Ticats organization.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something there.
Yeah. You know, when you go to a university, they have a huge university store.
Yeah.
You know, like no single team could necessarily make it work. But if the GTHL came together and it was like a team store, that might work. I know my parents buy stuff.
Yeah, like they might buy, you might buy like a Scotia Pond hoodie.
Cheswick fries hat.
Cheswick fries.
Well, anyway, Puff, it's been a hell of a season. We are, we did 45 episodes. We started.
Yes.
I don't know. We just started on a whim. We made it to 345. Yeah. We've done lots of interviews. Great run. Time. We're going to take a break now. We're going to have a few best of maybe episodes throughout the summer and some other clips throughout the summer, but I think we'll come back sometime in August. It sounds like we're signing up for season two. Is that right?
Season two is going to happen.
Season two. We're officially signed.
Yes.
Paperwork.
We signed our deals.
We signed all our deals. We're coming back. Unlike maybe Tavares or Marner.
Yeah.
We're coming back. Well, that's great. So anything before we wrap up this season, you want to get off your chest here in the last few minutes here?
Well, it's been a terrific year. A lot of good hockey was played this year. Some crazy incidents at the rink. But most, like 98% of everyone was great. And the 2% is usually loud. But a lot of the kids, if you go into a rink now, the level of hockey is unbelievable from U10 to U18, single A to triple A. It's pretty amazing to see what these kids are accomplishing on and off the ice. And it's exciting and great to be part of it.
Well, it's a very nice way to put your conclusion on it. So nice. I like it, Puff. Well, happy birthday, Puffy. Thank you to everybody for listening this season. Thanks for the listeners who've been with us since episode one and new listeners that we see joining every day. We really appreciate it. We're going to try to keep going and be another great season ahead of you for next year. But until then, you know, keep following us on Instagram. We're going to keep posting. Don't forget to use To The Rink coupon code on your BioSteel purchases. Get your 20% off. That doesn't end. You can have that all summer. No. To The Rink, coupon code, BioSteel. So
perfect for teams, the Ball Diamond.
Yeah, all those teams now in the Ball Diamond. And then as you guys are ramping up for your season, teams as you get into summer, late summer hockey, and you need to do a BioSteel order, do not forget to use the To The Rink podcast coupon code. We want to thank BioSteel for supporting us throughout the season. We really appreciate that as well. And other than that, please continue to subscribe, like, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple, and everywhere else you listen to it. Stoff, thank you so much for not only being the one who carried our AAA bets through, but also you know, producing and putting this together. We really appreciate it. We couldn't have done it without you. And by the way, I did go in the water. There is no proof of it. We didn't take pictures of it, but this weekend... No. Puffy was there, and I did go into Lake Ontario.
He helped us get our boat in to Lake Ontario,
and so. I did go in. So we didn't have a time to get a camera out, but I didn't.
No.
Other than that, thanks everybody. Have a great sort of off season. Enjoy your summer training plans, and we'll see you next time. Yep. Thanks for listening.